Nixon, before being completely overwhelmed by Watergate, had taken a similar but less ambitious tack on energy independence. Soon thereafter, Congress passed the Energy Policy and Conservation Act of 1975, which, among other things, mandated a doubling of passenger car fuel economy by 1985. Carter went farther in 1977, declaring the moral equivalent of war. The ideology and culture of the four Carter years were broadly anti-imperial, as they stressed energy conservation, peace rather than arms sales in the Middle East, skepticism of CIA clandestine operations and the overthrow of foreign governments, reduced conspicuous consumption, federal missionary work on behalf of solar power and renewable energy sources, smaller automobiles, and the enactment of a 55-mile-per-hour federal speed limit. Carter also promoted government restraint in budgetary matters and a vague attempt to crystallize less is more and smaller is better viewpoints, both of these in opposition to earlier mandates to spend, build, produce, and consume. Militarily, the Carter White House spoke softly and also managed to carry a pretty small stick. After the revolutionary government of Iran in 1979 seized 53 Americans from the U.S. Embassy, the air rescue mission Carter ordered in the spring of 1980 failed. With the helicopters downed in the Iranian desert, a symbol of his greater ineptitude, Carter lost the 1980 election and is remembered as a weak president. The 1975 to 1985 revolution in energy efficiency, however, was a relative success. Together with spiking oil prices, a conservationist ethic tightened America's energy belt. Between 1977 and 1985, and in the face of an expanding economy, oil demand fell by more than one-sixth. The percentage of oil consumed in the United States annually that had to be imported shrank from 46% to 30%. Inasmuch as two-thirds of the petroleum used in the United States went to keep automobiles on the road, the CAFE standards enacted in 1975 were a linchpin in this reduction. Where the average car in the United States got just 15 miles per gallon that year, the figure by 1985 was 25. California was in the forefront, having followed Governor Jerry Brown's call to move away from dependence on non-renewable fossil fuels. Nationally, new homes were often twice as energy efficient as similar-sized predecessors. Appliances made even bigger gains. New refrigerators, for example, used only one-quarter the power of pre-1970s models. As for the U.S. manufacturing sector as a whole, its energy efficiency improved by 30% between 1977 and 1986. The conservation weapon, once fired, was probably at least as efficient as the military option would have been. With roots in different economic and energy cultures, conservatives and liberals were inclined to ignore the other side's partial successes, preferring to resort to caricature. Republicans quipped that Carter's call for energy conservation as the moral equivalent of war could be summed up by its acronym, MEOW. Absent a policy synthesis and compromise, the complex of economic, lifestyle, and foreign policy issues that propelled U.S. oil politics swung in the conservative direction again. By the mid-1980s, support for energy conservation was ebbing. For one thing, the Reagan-Bush administration had been lukewarm to it, reducing spending on solar energy by two-thirds, de-emphasizing efficiency, and moving the spotlight back to petroleum. Nevertheless, as things turned out, the Republicans' 1981 emphasis on increasing oil supply as a means of lowering prices was justifiable, just like Carter's 1977 focus on efficiency and alternative fuels. Market forces rewarded the GOP emphasis. As the OPEC nations responded to U.S. urgings or simply produced oil in quantities far beyond their quotas, prices fell. Over 5 years, they declined by roughly two-thirds, from $31 to $35 per barrel in 1981, to $27 to $30 in late 1985, and to just $10 to $11 at the low point in 1986. Steep enough to devastate many Texas producers, this collapse quickly made irrelevant the 1980 to 1981 cost comparisons between oil and alternative energy sources. Hundreds of Texas oil men filed for bankruptcy, Houston real estate plummeted, and the bottom fell out of the market for cowboy art. But in the nation as a whole, oil made a comeback with consumers by regaining price acceptability. Plummeting oil and gasoline prices soon put the ignition key back into the great American automobile culture. Further federal tightening of fuel economy standards was rejected in 1985, and Detroit also took advantage of the statute's permissive standards for light trucks by developing its soon-to-be bestsellers, sport utility vehicles. For 10 years, technological improvement had concentrated on fuel economy. Now automobile manufacturers return to their pre-1973 priorities: power, acceleration, and speed.